From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome to this Friday edition of Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us as we close out another week of broadcasting here on the program. This week we have been looking at Colossians chapter 1 verse 23, dealing with the subject of the security of believers in Christ and showing that that security comes from the act of God in reconciling them to Himself in the body of His Son through death, and that that security is what guarantees that His people will be faithful. It guarantees their perseverance in the faith. It is not their faithfulness that produces security. It is security that produces faithfulness. That's the doctrine, and that's the text to which we'll be returning in just a moment. But first, our daily devotional for today, and it's on the subject of the pleasure of God. The pleasure of God, and the text is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It pleased God. Some people and religions present God as some sort of divine tyrant whose anger is never appeased. Nothing could be further from the truth. The God of the Bible is just, but He's also loving, merciful, and long-suffering, and He can be pleased. Today's text speaks of the pleasure of the Lord. A close examination of Scripture will reveal that His pleasure rests in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is pleased with the person of Christ. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Heavenly Father is pleased with the plenitude of Christ, for Paul reminds us that it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. He is pleased with the purity of Christ, because the sinless Jesus, like no earthly son, was able to say, "I do always those things that please Him." We see the amazing love of God to sinners when we realize that God is pleased with the passion of Christ. Isaiah records that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Remember, He was bruised for our sins. God is also pleased with the people of Christ, for Samuel records that it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. So the pleasure of God is wrapped up in the person of His dear Son. We can never please God if we're still in our sins, for they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But when we come to Christ, confess our sins, and receive Him as our Savior, then God is well pleased. When we exalt Christ, we please the Father. Our text reminds us that God is well pleased with the preaching of Christ. Do you sometimes feel that your labor's in vain? Do you feel ineffective as you preach and teach and witness to His truth? Be encouraged today, for it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God is pleased when Christ is preached. And our thought for the day is, if it pleased God to smite Christ our substitute, should anything please us better than to serve Christ our Savior?
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the Ten Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer. In our study of Colossians 1 verse 23 on the subject of the eternal security of believers, I have been showing that the doctrine of this text is that God has reconciled His people by Christ's death and that therefore their position in him is secure. And finally, that this security guarantees their faithfulness to Christ. Having shown that those whom God reconciled come to faith in Christ, I have been stressing the next great truth that Paul expounds: those whom God has reconciled continue in the faith of the gospel. There is one final great truth in the text that we will now consider. So let's turn one more time to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. But the actual fullness of the meaning has to be gathered by including a little of verse 22, which tells us that God has reconciled you to himself in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And here's our text: if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So those who have been reconciled to God in the body of his Son through death, first of all, come to faith in Christ. Second, they continue in the faith of the gospel. And the final thing that Paul makes clear is they are never moved away from the hope of the gospel. I said that what the Bible says about our future is true. The gospel that we have received, this gospel of reconciliation, assures our future. Paul has talked about that. Now, this has a present experience, as I pointed out, dealing with verse 22, but it has a future promise. He's going to present us before his own face, holy, perfectly holy. He's going to present us perfectly unblameable and perfectly unreprovable, beyond condemnation and beyond accusation, before God. That's our future. In other words, redemption and reconciliation guarantee our glorification. I want you to get that. I love Romans 8 and how Paul puts it all in the past tense. You should never miss this. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's strange that commenting on that text, which is so destructive to his whole theological system, John Wesley denied that there was any real identity between the people in each class. In other words, it's not the same people. You have to be off your head to say that. You have to be so enamored with your own foolish little scheme that you fly in the face of the plain meaning of Scripture. Whom he foreknew, the very people he foreknew, that is, the people who in his love and in his eternal counsel he set aside to himself, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Whom he predestinated, he actually called effectively. Whom he called, he justified. All whom he justified, he glorified. Past tense. He glorified. Now, you have to be honest. When you look in the mirror, you may be proud or otherwise of what you see, but there, you, for all the beauty you think you have, you're certainly not glorified. And neither am I in the body, but we are in Christ. We are in Christ. You see, Christ and the people whom God gave to him in the covenant of redemption can never be separated. Never. And all that he is, we are. And he is exalted, and he is glorified, and therefore all whom he foreknew, predestinated, called and justified, all are glorified in Christ. That's our future. It's assured, it's certain. In verse 27, we read,
Christ in you, the hope of glory. We could take that, the guarantee of glory. It's what we're waiting for, confidently. Now, says Paul, once you realize that, you can never give that up. This is not something a Christian simply chooses to hold on to or he may let go of. It's impossible for a man who's been reconciled to God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's impossible for a man who has ever been given the hope of glory to throw it all up. Anybody who says he throws up the hope of the gospel never had the hope of the gospel. Anybody who has it, by the very fact that he has it, can never give it up. The world has nothing to offer that could seduce a person who's in Christ away from the hope of the gospel. So here then is the result of Christian security. Security guarantees fidelity. That means simply that all who have received redemption, reconciliation, all who have received the hope of glory, will never stop believing and they'll never stop hoping. Whatever life brings, may it be pain or pleasure, may it be riches or poverty, they must hold on to Christ. They will hold on to Christ. They cannot give up Christ. Do you ever notice, though Christians can be foolish and they can at times fly in the face of God and at times they can be bitter or angry, but did you ever notice that when the chips are really down and when a Christian is really in trouble, at that time he feels the need to cling to Christ more acutely than ever has felt it before? He can't give up Christ. He can't give up Christ. However dark the way, he can never give up the hope that Christ has given him. Apart from Christ, a Christian is entirely rudderless on the sea of life and hopeless as he faces the future. But then you see, a Christian can never be apart from Christ. We must confess where we were singing it this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust even the sweetest frame. He's talking about a frame of mind. I'm not trusting my frame of mind. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Why? Because they can change. My hope is built on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So standing on Christ, or if go back to the figure that Paul uses in our text, settled on Christ, seated in Christ, we continue in the faith of the gospel. And the result of that security is our continuance. Eternal security. Very vital for your own peace of mind that you grasp this. You see, either your security depends on how faithful you are, or it depends on how faithful Christ is. Either your security depends on your fidelity, or you can be sure you will be faithful because Christ is faithful and you are secure in him. That's what Paul is teaching. Let us get our feet firmly planted on that ground and we will be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the faithfulness of Christ. We thank thee for the absolute certainty of the value and the virtue of his person and his work. We can say with the hymn writer, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I have no other argument, I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me." Gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the faithfulness of Christ. We thank Thee for the value of His work. We thank Thee for the unconquerable victory of His death. We thank Thee that whom He purchased forever. We thank Thee, our Father, that He has purchased for us an eternal salvation. And, O Lord, we thank Thee that because we are secure in Christ, therefore we continue in the faith of the gospel, steadfast and settled, unmoved from the hope that Christ has given us. Lord, bless Your people today. Lord, let Your people go out from this place in the joyous assurance of their security in Christ, and in the light of that, let them blaze a trail of faithful love and service for the Savior. Remember those who hear with a general hearing, but have never come to a personal faith in Christ. Gracious God, have mercy upon them, and grant them the gift of faith and repentance. Grant today that they may turn from sin to the Savior. We ask Thee, O Lord, that Thou would remember those who labor under difficulty. Did they believe? Were they saved? Lord, settle it all by getting them today to a place where their eyes are on Christ, where, O God, their faith is now fixed in Him, where they may go forth rejoicing in a present Savior. Hear our prayer. And Thou part us with Thy blessing, and keep us in Thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church, today and evermore. We pray these things, giving Thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.